Today is February 25th, 2015, and this is another Crystal Journal. I'm sitting here. I've been charging the first round of Shivalingams, these egg-shaped river stones from India, and charging the first round. I have so much to say. I haven't done this in a while, and I've had so many insights and experiences the last few days. The last few days, I've realized that with all the work I've been doing with Onyx and Aurolite 23, Onyx for deepening into plutonian issues, into the subconscious, into what I fear, what hurts, and then altering my relationship with those things, that creates this intensity in the lower chakras, this openness and groundedness. And then I'm using Aurolite 23 to kind of float above that with conscious awareness without getting caught up in the muck. So in that space, I've been not just intuitive, but able to vision, not simply intuitive, but able to vision some more things. And I noticed maybe yesterday morning, I could feel access to the different frequency bookmarks that I will use to charge crystals I haven't yet charged. So I saw precisely how I'm going to charge the Aurolite 23. The night before, I had been meditating with it and received from some insight from Jehudi about how to do it. I wrote down three things. But then in the morning, I felt, yeah, I'm ready to do it, given time and energy. And the same with the Shivalingams. I saw exactly what I would need to do. And the same with the Labradorite, which has been developing for many months, maybe six months or so, when Jehudi started telling me that that would be a wonderful third crystal to charge after the Tiger Iron and the Red Jasper. So I saw that I understand how to do all this, and also the Pink Opal, which I haven't talked about really, just a couple of pictures on Facebook for heart chakra opening, fourth chakra, processing feelings. So I was in this interesting space last night because I could see that I knew exactly what I was going to do, and essentially I could hear these four radio stations simultaneously without being distracted by either one. This is all because of intense work the last few weeks with the Onyx and the Aurolite 23. So I felt in this sublime, amazing, wonderful, surreal, awesome, perfect, surreally, awesomely, awesome, saucy, perfect place, recognizing that, they will get charged when I'm in the right place. So I woke up this morning and went to the gym pretty early. And on the walk home, I felt the energy of Metatron kind of pooling or building. And I knew when I got home I could charge the Shivalingams because this Shivalingams are all about Metatron's energy. So I didn't want to say goodbye to my girlfriend before she went to work because I didn't want to be distracted or have her. I didn't want to be distracted by her energy. Not that she would do anything or her energy would do something, but I didn't want to be distracted. But I said goodbye and it was fine. And then I came down to my office and I spent maybe 8 minutes, it was about 8 minutes, getting into the space to channel Metatron to do this. It takes some time to descend into that a little bit or to settle my energy into that space. I talked about pooling. That energy pooling, it feels like it's gathering within me, and then I can put my attention on it consciously and open that frequency. So I did that, and during that time, because I've been wondering about certain details about these crystals and how to time things and how to price them and all these things, and really doing some inner work on the fact that I approach all the crystal stuff as a blue-collar endeavor. And then I'm stretched thin because I'm doing more and more and, accepting essentially a really low wage for doing intense magic, intense channeling, energy work, magic. So I've been really meditating on that, really focusing on that, and looking at some other life issues and some early life family issues and feeling loved and worthy and valued in order to work through that. And I spent several hours last night working on that with the Oralite and the Onyx, and working on it and really seeing some details. So anyway, so during those you know, 7 or 8 minutes when I was descending into the Metatron space, he said, "Why don't you do some research on numerology, because you never remember any of that." And I can tell you, but I want you to see what I want you to really learn it and see if you're, you know, if you can track it. So I looked it up, and I ended up on this site that said today is an 8 day, and I realized that this is all about eight, and so the door is open to charging these. For those of you into numerology, and those of you who are not, you can look it up. I'm not going to go into it in detail, but so then about 12 or 13 minutes of intense charging, the first set of Shiva Lingams have four that I'm holding plus mine, which is already supercharged because I use it all the time that I channel Metatron and do energy work with him and using him, and he uses me. Maybe 12 or 13 minutes of that, and then I had this inspiration. Yeah, when I'm done, I will record. And he said, "Why don't you do it now while you're charging them?" I said, "Okay." So here we are. So some of the properties of Shiva Lingams, they are river stones from India. They're tumbled in a river. There's a particular river, and it's one of seven sacred spots on this pilgrimage journey many Hindus take. And once a year, these stones are harvested, gathered from the river, and they're all kinds of different sizes, and they're rough. And with sand, mostly with sandpaper by hand, they are smoothed out, and the patterns on them are revealed. Typically, these are gray with dark red and brown markings of different kinds. And the idea is that they're egg-shaped, which is more or less a phallic shape, representing Shiva, and lingam means penis. So this is Shiva's penis. The shape is that phallic shape. The markings represent yoni, which is the female counterpart, right? The vagina. So the idea is balancing masculine and feminine, which is about creativity, which is about power. So the Shiva Lingam that I was gifted several years ago by a client who was visiting from overseas and spending a month doing studying with me and doing some ongoing counseling intensely in person, she gifted me one, and I sat on my desk for a while, and I wasn't connected with it until maybe a year and a half or 2 years later, when Metatron said, "Hey, it's time to start bringing me through for people during events and during sessions. Instead of just me being a guide and advising you, it's time for you to really embody my energy and bring it through." So I said, "Great. How would you suggest that I learn to do that?" And I felt my hand reaching out for this Shiva Lingam. So and then I've used that ever since. It's about 2.5 years ago. Since I started doing energy work on others, using him and again, him using me. So mine has the markings perpendicular to the lingam shape. And this is the idea, perpendicular, going against the grain a little bit. The encounter of masculine and feminine, the alchemical interaction of the two kinds of energies blending creates, it is creativity, it creates. So feminine energy is, and masculine energy does. If we overly identify as masculine, we may not be sure how not to do. How to experience, how to be, how to feel. We may not be sure how to do those things. If we identify as overly feminine, then we may not be sure how to take action or to take action in the right way at the right time to the right end. We may feel and sense, and we may not feel empowered to do. The ideal is neither to be aggressive nor passive. Though each human will fall somewhere along the scale of masculine to feminine, nobody is totally masculine nor totally feminine. No man is totally masculine, no woman is totally feminine. No man who appears feminine is totally feminine. No woman who appears masculine is totally masculine. We all fall on some part of this range. Social conditioning can make that challenging to work with at times. Though it is the year 2015, we are coming out of millennia of conditioning about what a man is supposed to be like, what a woman is supposed to be like. To do good mediumship, to do good shamanic work, to do good channeling, you must balance masculine and feminine and find out where you are on that range and engage, you know, in that spectrum of masculine and feminine and engage in certain ways to come more into balance. So open channels will be more or less balanced. Shamans will be more or less balanced. It's not to say they were born right in the middle, but they develop their energies. They may be born in the middle, but it is something that can be developed through working with different aspects of self. The ideal, given this context of working with the Shiva Lingam and the energy of Metatron, the ideal is to be willing to be and sense and feel. Being in a state of, you could think of it as swirling energy or being in this state of feeling and being with things moving within you, yet not feeling compelled to act simply because you are feeling and sensing. Just because you exist doesn't mean that you have to do something. Just because you feel something doesn't mean you have to do something about it. So it's about appropriate action. It's about engaging your energy with the world around you in an intentional way. So in all the work I do, I recommend that you be willing to feel and also be willing to act when it's necessary, when you are guided, when your instinct says so, when you know that it is time, when you feel, not when your brain says, I'm concerned about the time, or I'm worried that if I don't do this today, something, you know, not that kind of thing, not deadlines, not fear about the clock, but being in your body, being willing to feel all that is there, being willing to feel all you are capable of feeling, and acting when the time is right. If you are coming from a mind-based perspective, mind is fearful. And if you are coming from that perspective, there is no criticism to be put on anybody or you or anybody about that. We all have that conditioning. We all have that tendency. If we do not align mind with the rest of us, then we'll find ourselves stressed out because mind is constantly trying to control things, but it doesn't know when the right time to act is. Operating according to the clock, always, the deadlines, the fear, the expectation that something may go wrong, the surety that something may be on the verge at any moment of going wrong, that is fear. And when we do that, we're not acting in tune with the rest of our being. So the Shiva Lingam, charged in this way, will bring you into your body, will activate masculine and feminine, active and passive, with the ideal that you are willing to feel, willing to contain energy, willing to be aware of your body, be in it. to contain energy, to possess potential for action, yet act when it's appropriate. Choose to act. Respond to the world around you when appropriate, when it works for you. Not feel, as I said earlier, compelled to act because you have energy. This is wasteful. This is not creative. In fact, acting from a place of fear or the logic of the mind or the concern about deadlines, this is in fact leaking energy. So, the Shivalingams are charged to help you feel a natural source of energy generated because it is a stimulating influence. Contain it by being grounded, and then use it when the time is right. Never to act from fear, never to act from worry or anxiety, but to choose to act when the time is right, when things align, or when you realize an action will bring things into alignment in the right way. The legend depends on where you're coming from, whether you believe this right away or not. The lore surrounding Shivalingams is that a meteor crashed into this riverbed millions of years ago, and it contained certain elements that, of course, became part of the riverbed and the stone, and that these cryptocrystalline quartz pieces, they contain iron, which is why there are these dark brown or dark red, kind of like almost the color of dried blood, some of them in dark brown, markings that represent the yoni on the egg-shaped Shivalingam. That the lore is that these minerals from the meteorite from outer space, from another place, are in the Shivalingams, and that's what gives them their power. I tend to feel that if the story is not literally true, that there's something very important about it and that it symbolizes something important. There's a lot going on Earth that does not originate on Earth. And a lot of the ancient Indian traditions were channeled. If you look at the five bodies of knowledge or wisdom, like astrology is a Jyotish, the science of light, but the five sciences, the original sciences from the Vedic tradition, the ancient tradition, from the rishis, the seers, these are channeled. And there's no there are no bones made about it. It's not pussyfooted around. These are channeled. They are seeing things. They are channeling things from other realms, from off-world, and bringing that wisdom so people can benefit from it. Same with the Mayan long count calendar, by the way. The Mayans were the people, at least the Mayans who were doing that, were channels. And they were channeling the galactic center. And this is also not a secret. It doesn't necessarily fit in with our 21st century Newtonian mechanistic obsession with the logic of the brain and mechanical reality and material world reality. But anyway, there are a lot of things on Earth that are not from Earth. There are a lot of creative things that occur on this planet that were not generated by the linear logical mind. We're all potential channels. We all have the ability to traverse realms. We've been conditioned to be in one dimension, to think we're in one dimension, yet we are multidimensional. And since the end of the Mayan long count calendar at the end of 2011, the veils between dimensions, including the partitions within our consciousnesses, are gone. So we're refeeling intense things from other lives as though they're happening now, and thereby, in part, at least partially, creating them. Most intense things are coming up. So we are multidimensional. We cannot avoid it. We can no longer avoid it. More and more people are feeling this. So a question with the Shivalingam becomes, what will you do with your energy? You are an energy generator. You are inspired to respond to the world around you, including people and situations and events. You have opinions. You have desires. You have aversions. These are all energy responses to stimuli. I mean mental, emotional, physical, energetic responses to stimuli. How will you use your energy? With a charged Shivalingam, you learn to harness your creative energy as juice, as power, and you learn to intentionally use it when the time is right.